The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely gorgeous Julie Edinburgh.
Hello.
Hello.
You flatterer, you.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
Hey, I'll take it.
Cool. Julie's joined us as a co-host once again because Jules has sloped off some excuse about celebrating her 30th wedding anniversary with her new husband. Congratulations to Jules and
Huge
Gavin.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But it's absolutely wonderful to have Julie with us. You can hear us on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM. On Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. We've got some fabulous guests in the studio to talk to. We've got a recorded interview as well. So there's lots of things that we're going to cover. I'm going to start, though, by reading this, which is an event that I've been sent by Keely Woolley. And it's a reset and restore retreat. It's a three-day all-inclusive retreat, and it's going on from April the 12th to April the 14th. It's all-inclusive, as I say, unwind, rewind and thrive. And it says it's the heart of Bedfordshire, and you can find out more about it by going to Keely's website, which is metamorphosuccess.com. Let me spell that for you, because that's an interesting name. Meta, M-E-T-A-M-O-R-F-O-R-S-U-C-C-E-S, metamorphosuccess.com. You can find out all about that wonderful retreat and the other things that Keely does, but book yourself on it as a treat. I think I'm right in saying it's a women-led retreat as well. So do check that out. Cool. So how are you, Julie?
I'm very well.
You've been gadding around in New York, haven't you?
I might have been in the Big Apple, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been before, or was that your first time?
No, that was my first time, and man, I want to go back already.
Do you?
Yeah. It was such a good time. Everything's just bigger.
Yeah.
And dare I say it, a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. If you haven't been to NYC, if you're a city goer, I would highly recommend go there. Eat their food, because honestly, you could just, the portion sizes are incredible.
I know, tell me about
it. If you're a foodie like myself, it is the best thing.
I could tell you some funny stories about New York. I used to live there for a very short very short space of time, yeah.
Where did you live? Whereabouts?
In the World Trade Center, would you believe?
No way.
Yeah, yeah. I worked for Goldman Sachs, and they had an apartment in the World Trade Center, and I was there for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But
wow.
I'll try and get this out quickly. A really funny story. Quite a few years ago, my youngest son, who was then 15, he's now 29, but he was 15.
Yeah.
And we'd recently divorced, his mother and I. So I said, we're going to go on holiday. Where do you want to go? New York. Fine, we'll go to New York.
Don't blame him.
Yeah. So we're looking for hotels and stuff like that online, and we're looking with him, and he said, oh, can we stay in this one? It's a hotel called The Library. Yeah, it's just around the corner from
Times Square?
No. The tall building that's not at the
Empire State.
Empire State Building. Thank you, Julie. Yeah. yeah, it's just around the corner from the Empire State Building. Oh, yeah, well, look at that. It's blooming expensive. Right. So, anyway, book two rooms to get there. We go out, arrive at the hotel, walk in, okay?
And
the guy at the reception goes, hello, Stuart.
Pardon?
You know my son? Yeah, he was here a month ago with his mum.
No!
You never mentioned that. No. Oh, did I not?
What? So he was there a month ago with his mum and he didn't tell you?
No. In the same hotel, which he blagged me into booking again because it was really expensive. Yeah.
I like his style. That is one clever kid you've got there.
Yeah. Don't go there. Yeah. So you had a good time.
Oh, it was amazing. Had a helicopter ride over Liberty.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go on a helicopter, so that was a massive bucket list thing crossed off.
Cool.
Yeah, incredible. And just the people are so friendly. Mm-hmm. I'm now a NFL fan.
Right.
That's ice hockey, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's football.
That just shows how much football. I know.
Yeah.
We watched in one bar a whole ice hockey game.
Right.
New York Yankees, yes, with the blue jerseys. It was definitely them, because I was shouting that out. New York Yankees.
Possibly.
But yeah, they're just great. Everyone just chats to you at the bar, and it's lovely.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm a bit of a talker anyway, so I was loving life. It was brilliant.
Good. So you had a lovely time.
Amazing.
Did you see all the sights? You went to Times Square.
Yeah, Central Park, and it was just all so great.
Yeah,
so great. Did all the touristy stuff. Then we went a bit off-piste. Went down some sort of, you know, the off-site non-touristy areas. That was great.
Where did you go? Like the Bronx or somewhere?
We went everywhere, like Midtown, Uptown.
Okay,
went to see Carrie Bradshaw's apartment for all you Sex and the City fans out there.
Right, okay.
That was a biggie for me as well, because I grew up watching Sex and the City.
Right,
so that was a big bucket list. Got a lovely pair of shoes, because if you're going to New York and
you've got to buy shoes, haven't you?
These are something else.
Right.
So, yeah, I have to say, I'm gonna brag now. I got myself a pair of Christian Louboutin shoes.
Oh, blimey.
So,
New York.
Yeah, from Saks.
Did you get a mortgage or...?
Well, yeah, birthday gift, put it that way.
You were spoilt, weren't you?
I was very spoilt. So, cool. Very happy chappy over here.
Good. So you had a lovely time, and that's brilliant. Right, so now you're back, and you've got to do some work.
I know. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah,
thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah.
Back to the grind.
You can hear Julie and her sidekick Noreen on a Wednesday evening on this very radio station.
On the Diamond Single Show.
On the Diamond Single Show. 7 PM Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday on the dot.
Well, not every Wednesday. You weren't there last week, were you?
No, I was in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Most Wednesdays.
Yeah, most Wednesdays when she's not in New York. Yeah.
Oh, I do want to book again. That was so good.
Cool.
I'll have to do like a show from out there. Hey, guys.
Absolutely. I did the reverse for a little while. I did a show in New York from here.
What? You did a show?
A radio show in New York from here. Yeah. I stood in for a friend of mine who does a very similar show to the Bunker Show in the US.
Oh, wicked.
And he was away for a while. So he said, well, I stand in. So I did. And it was hilarious.
Now, did they talk all American? Could you understand what they were saying? That was an awful accent, by the way. I'm really sorry, guys.
I'm going to tell you a story, but I'm not going to answer questions about it afterwards, okay? I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to move on swiftly.
Oh, I can't promise. Right? I can't ask a question.
So the very first show I stood in for him, I had the MD of Forbes magazine was the guest. Okay.
Wow.
Top selling business magazine.
That's a big guest.
Yeah. So the chap came on. I can't even remember his name. the chap came on and started to speak to me, and he said, "Oh, you're the guy from England." He said, "What's with the pink tutu?" And I said, "You what?" He said, "When I googled you, all I got was a picture of you in a pink tutu." Now, I'm not going into details about that. Yeah. But you can blame Jules for that, okay?
What did she do?
She posted a picture of me in a pink tutu all over the internet, and this guy was the first picture he found of me was me in a pink tutu.
Why were you sporting one in the first place? Why was I wearing a pink tutu?
Right, very briefly, I'm not going to get involved in this. Some years ago on this show, some idiot came up with the idea of a sponsorship package, and people could bid money to get me to do a forfeit of some kind, okay? And the person that won by donating £1,500 to a charity was to get me to dress in a pink tutu and do a Zumba class.
Okay? Zumba's great.
No, it's not. It is not great. And I did a Zumba class alongside the person that at the time was the Minister for Sport, Tracy Crouch. So Tracy and I did a 4-hour Zumba class. She was dressed normally and I'm in a pink tutu. And Jules took pictures of it and posted it on the internet. And that is the end of that story.
Well, naturally she would do that. Of course I would have done that and plastered you all over the internet.
Yeah, thank you for that.
What you could have said to the CEO of Forbes or the MD chap is that your pink tutu was homage to Carrie Bradshaw. They love her out there.
If
you've seen Sex and the City, the opening scene, she's always wearing a pink tutu.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I don't watch Sully. So
that, every episode, first scene, pink tutu.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Oh, that'll be why it came up then over there, probably.
Probably why, yeah. Homage to Carrie Bradshaw there.
Yeah, nice one. I tell you what, Julie, you've got some emails to read there, and if you can find them, there's quite a few tweets, but you can read an email. Why don't you do that?
Okay, so I've got my reading glasses on today. So that's a good start. Medway Council, helping businesses to grow their workforce through supported internships. An opportunity to learn from other businesses during a complimentary networking brunch and meet the providers who can support you in Medway. So that's at Royal Engineers Museum, and that's in Gillingham, February the 29th, so this Thursday, and that's 9:45 till 12:30. Get on down there, guys. That's from Medway Council.
Fantastic. Thanks, Julie. I've got a tweet here from Athel Braid, a training company, and they say Vanilla Web and Jules, so they're a bit behind the curve with us. They meant Julie. Could we get a shout out on the show for the upcoming managers program? Highly popular with existing or aspiring managers, covering all the topics they need to be effective, empathetic leaders of people. And that's from Fran, and she says thank you. It's Getting to Grips with Management program. It's on the 22nd of April. It's being held at Demelza Charity, Demelza House, in Sittingbourne. And they say if you'd like more information on the program, you can get in contact with Fran by email, fran@athelbray.co.uk. And let me spell that for you. It's athelbrae, athelbray.co.uk.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Cool. What you got?
So, from Marsh Network, Marsh Network Breakfast Meeting. So, this is being held at the Ship Inn on the High Street in Dymchurch. So, it's a face-to-face meeting, again, this Thursday, the 29th of February, and you need to book online. So, if you guys Google Marsh Network, hopefully you'll see their link, and you can book online, and that's a face-to-face meeting.
Oh, look, see, they've done it. Look, somebody's gone and found the blooming...
The tutu!
Yeah.
Amazing.
Don't laugh
really
at me, ladies.
You. Pink suits you. It's your colour, Paul.
You're dazzle, you're dead.
Pink definitely suits you.
No, we could say anything.
No, no, you can laugh as hard as you like, Chinwe. Yeah, I can take it. Yeah. The one thing, the one saving grace in my life is, as far as I know, there is no photographs of me naked in a hairdresser's shop window in Whitstable.
As far as you know.
As far as I know.
Listeners in Whitstable, can you please confirm this?
I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist, and if it does, it would be banned.
Are we allowed to ask questions around that?
Yeah, go on.
Can we ask you, why would we be looking for a picture?
Well, you wouldn't look for it naturally, because you wouldn't want to see it. If you mean why would it be there?
Why would it be there? Why is it a thing?
Because before I learnt my lesson and stopped doing these things, the previous charity event was me agreeing to sit naked in a shop window in Whitstable and have every piece of my body hair shaved off or in fact waxed, yeah, and a crowd stood outside the window donating money as each piece of hair came off on the wax strips.
Oh my god.
Now, apart from my head, I'm quite a hairy person, so it took a long time, but I did raise $2,500.
Oh, well, there you go. Has the hair grown back now?
Has it? No.
I can confirm, ladies and gentlemen, no, it has not.
So, enough of that. So, Darren has posted the picture. Thank you, Darren. I'll get you. Don't worry.
I'm still thinking about the pink tutu. That's brilliant.
I've stopped doing these challenges now. I'm far too old to make that kind of fool of myself
anymore.
Don't
be daft.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think up the next one, actually. Mind has gone whirring.
Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy, has tweeted, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. I'll be listening live from 1 p.m, so I won't be missing Jules' Infamous intro this week. Well, you will, Martin, because she's not here.
Dun, dun, dun. You're stuck with me.
We have a proper show without any ranting. Yeah. He says it's been a busy bee this morning. Lovely day out and about in Kent today. Have a great show. You always do. Thank you, Martin. No, we're joined by Julie this week, so we've got much more decorum and
absolutely.
Yeah,
keep it clean, guys.
And
keep
no
it
ranting.
Clean.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, didn't someone say they were having a glorious day today? It is so sunny today.
It is,
the
yeah.
The sun has finally nice. Turned up.
Yeah. And warm.
Yeah.
Right. No wind.
Now, makes now, a change.
Now, I'm getting people tweeting me going, they're all out searching for a picture of me in Wearsable. If it existed, it would make you ill. So just don't bother. I know for a fact it doesn't exist, but you keep looking.
Come on, guys, from Whitstable. Find it. Find it. Someone's got to have a picture of Paul naked.
Well, we're talking about anniversaries.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to change the subject completely.
Oh.
Well,
oh
you haven't.
Gosh. No. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah,
yeah. I could see him. Yeah. Like,
the fear in Paul's
yeah.
face.
Yeah. How to become a porn star at 70. talking of anniversaries, I want to say a big shout out for this because this is lovely. A chap called Adrian Kearney.
I know Adrian.
Do you know Adrian? Mm. On this very Business Bunker show 15 years ago, Adrian came along as a guest on the show and announced that he was starting a business, AK Pet Services.
Yeah, that rescuing pets.
Yeah, that was exactly 15 years ago.
Wow.
So it's the 15th anniversary of AK Pet Services. What Adrian and his team now do is they offer pet taxi, ambulance and rescue services.
Mm.
They have licensed vehicles where they can take your parrot to the vets or yeah. you know
oh amazing
or your dog to be wormed or whatever
which areas they cover are they in Kent
yes he covers mostly Medway and North Kent.
Oh.
I'm not sure entirely how far they go. akpetservices.co.uk is their website, have a check on there, but over the years he's obviously expanded as
yeah.
it's become much more important. I mean, he started off the whole idea is he had lots of friends that were kind of getting on in years, and if their pet needed to go to the vet they were struggling to get the pet there.
Yeah.
And of course you can't take big elephants and dogs and parrots and things on the bus.
Can you not?
No.
Oh, I suppose it's only guide dogs, isn't it?
Yeah. We could, but you can't get the tickets. So he started AK Pet Services and he got himself licensed. So his vehicles are licensed to carry pets and safely and stuff like that. Absolutely
amazing.
Dedicated,
yeah,
absolutely dedicated
amazing.
Business. He's done a fabulous business and I was chatting to him over the weekend and he was saying, I need to kind of talk about this. He was saying how sad it is at the moment that because of the cost of living crisis and how so many people are suffering, how many pets are getting abandoned.
That is
so
And it's not nice, and you know, you understand how people struggle, but don't just turn the animal out. I mean, that's just cruel, isn't it?
That is awful. I mean, there are places you can take pets.
Yeah, exactly,
so, you know,
exactly.
Shelters, at the very least.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think COVID helped, did it? Because everyone decided they needed a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And then 2 years down the line, they've gone back to work, and the dog's a bit of an inconvenience.
Sorry. They're having a conversation amongst themselves about what they're going to do if they ever find this picture.
What are they saying?
There's technology. They're trying to
pull a Chinway now.
Yeah.
It's going, it's tucked away in a folder on my laptop and I'll let you see it for money, you know.
How much are we talking?
what was I waffling about?
Paul's gone a bit flush.
He's
a bit pink
now.
He's gone a bit in pink. Pink's his colour, as we found out as well.
Yeah, we were talking about pets, weren't we? One of the things that does annoy me a little bit is people don't really think about it before they take on a pet.
Yeah.
You know, not only is there a cost involved, there's a lifestyle change involved as well.
Especially, we'd
all kind of, not so much with cats because they do whatever they want, but
with dogs especially,
you know, if you try and leave a dog on its own, especially when it's young, it'll eat your house.
yes, and the rest.
You know, and you have to build your life around that pet because you can't just all decide to go out for a couple of days. You know, like if you had a dog and no one to look after it, you couldn't go on a surprise trip to New York, for
exactly.
instance.
Exactly,
you know.
And that's exactly why I don't have a dog. I grew up with a German Shepherd, so I know how much hard work work it takes. And, you know, you have to walk them, whether it come rain or shine.
Is he still a shepherd?
Yes, he is. But
I didn't know you'd lived in Germany.
They are German shepherds. That is an actual breed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, no, sorry, I was being silly. I grew up with a German. I grew up with a German shepherd. It's better than I grew up with a Greek.
Do you know, I missed that. Wow. I need a coffee. But yeah, it is hard work, and that's why, as much as I am a massive dog person, I would love to have a dog. I just don't have the time for it. Yeah. I don't have time to walk it of a morning, walk it of an evening, and do all the rest that comes with it. And, you know, that's my choice. I can't have a dog because I don't have the time to dedicate.
Mm. Absolutely. But people don't think about that. You know, they take it on because it's fluffy and lovely. And then after a few weeks, they suddenly realise it's a bit more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My dog comes to work with me and it's a clinic dog.
Darcy is beautiful.
A proper little therapy dog. But aww. I'm really lucky that she's brilliant with people, unless she sees a cat and a squirrel and then she's off. Yeah. But generally, yeah. And that's fab. And the, you know, the clients love it.
It's okay if you can do that.
Yeah.
I own co-working spaces. And when we first started the first one, we were asked if we'd allow dogs, and why not? It was a nightmare. Mm. One lady had a dog that got loose and it just went and ate everyone's lunch. It took all their sandwiches off the desk. And I had a deputation of people going, either the dog goes or we go. So we had to ban dogs in there.
Right, listen. He could have eaten a lot worse. So.
He could have done. He could have pooped on their desk.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been a lot, lot worse.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to read these and then that's it. And then I'm not, you know, the end. Yeah, Lisa Settle, you will never escape the pink tutu event. Tell me about it, Lisa. That's right. And then various people with gifts of other people in pink tutus. Sarah Marsh Collins, ha ha ha, you're never going to live that pink tutu down, Paul. I'm with you on Zumba, though. I've never felt so uncoordinated in my life. One time only.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. If you want to laugh, my partner Amanda was a salsa teacher. She tried to get me to dance salsa once. That was incredibly difficult.
Entertaining.
Lisa Settle, who's from Ryland Communications, has also tweeted, completely change the subject. Yeah. Can we have a shout out, please, Vanilla Web? We are desperately trying to bring awareness of the PSTN switchover, trying to avoid last minute panic for people and for us. Absolutely. We're kind of running out of time already. You see, you're worse than Jules. You are.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. The PSTN switchover is all telephones are coming off the copper wire and onto your broadband. Mm. I've been on since 2018. It's a disaster. My phone is forever crashing. My broadband's forever crashing since they put it on there.
Your mobile phone?
No. Oh, the landline.
Do you still have a landline?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, a thing like my mum, bless her. Yeah, she has an emergency lifeline. Mm. BT have just contacted us and said they're changing her phone over. I said, no, you're not, because her lifeline won't work. Oh, well, we need to work out how we're going to do that. Anyway.
Surely they would have planned for that. I mean, come on. That's a big, major thing.
No.
Wow.
No.
I know Lisa Settle too.
Do you know Lisa?
Yes.
You know everyone, correct. Louise. Yeah. Right, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to listen, because I'm a bit late with this. We've got some cheesy tunage, and then we're going to listen to our interview with Dara.
Is she really going out with him?
Oh, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Mm-hmm. Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him? We see.
That's when I fell for leader of the pack. My folks are always putting him down. They said he came from the wrong side of town.
What do you mean when you say that he came from the wrong side of town?
They told me he was mad.
The pack.
smile and kiss me goodbye. The tears were beginning to show. As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. Whether he heard, I'll never know.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show this Tuesday afternoon, Mr. Dara Gannon. Dara, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on board. It's very nice to be coming in from Ireland all the way into Kent. So such a pleasure. Thank you very much for the invitation.
It's absolutely wonderful to see you, my friend. Why don't we kick off by you telling us, first of all, a bit about Dara. You just mentioned you're based in Ireland. Whereabouts in Ireland are you, Dara?
I live in the southeast, so I am in County Wexford, just outside a little town called Gorey. I'm originally from Dublin, but like most people, I got tired of the big city living and longed for the rolling fields of the countryside. So I'm a lot more relaxed and calmer nowadays because
you couldn't deal with a crack then.
Oh God, no! I've got too old for it.
Cool. So you're in beautiful County Wexford. I know it quite well. I used to be a great fan. The tweeting goddess, Sam Kelly, used to do a lovely little program on Sky called Wexford Matters on a Sunday evening. And I was a regular viewer of that. So, all good stuff.
Yeah, I know Sam. Yeah, she's a fellow dub living in Wexford as well herself. Yeah. She's a class act. She's great for us. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a bit about your background, your work background.
Yeah, of course. So I suppose, I spent most of my time in financial services. I've been managing teams, in various different industries, but predominantly in financial services, probably for the last 25 years. From going through kind of IT teams to financial services to various different sectors, about 5 years ago, I decided to go out, on my own, and set up my own consultancy, firm. And, when I say consultancy firm, it is me, et al. That's it.
headquarters.
Yeah, this is headquarters where we are right now. And probably one of the reasons I did it, I thought it was the right time. I had spent so many years looking at, how various different companies did things and how they operated. And I felt that, you know, I had learned so much about probably from all of the mistakes both I have made and I had seen in other companies. And I thought it was time that before I put my feet up for the rest of my life, I thought it was time to get out there and start sharing those learnings, with anybody who would allow me to. I took the plunge about 5 years ago. As everything, you know, things were a little bit slow to start off as you build a customer base and build up, I suppose, really the reputation and the relationships. And that's a key thing for me is building a relationship with my clients and them trusting what advice I give them and trusting them. And until you start doing that for somebody, you know, you can't get the recommendation to do it for somebody.
Absolutely.
Else.
Yeah. I don't know if you find it. When I left the corporate world, like you, I worked in financial services. I left the corporate world 35 years ago. And when my first venture was, just like you, me,
as a consultant, what I found, the really hard thing I found is I'd get a gig to do something and I'd immerse myself in that project. I'd finish the project, then I had no work. And then you have to spend ages trying to find your next gig. Then you do it and then you've got no work. So you had this stop start all the time. Is that, have you come across that?
Yeah, very much so. One of my first gigs I got, and I've a funny story I'll tell you about later on about that. But I managed to just work 4 days for them. So I was able to just do the fifth day, continuing to work on project, other projects. I've spent the last 2.5 years with the HSE, which is our NHS. That became a 5 day thing. And what I found with other clients, thankfully over the last two and a half years, I've managed to hold on to my other clients, both with the HSE being very flexible for me. But meetings and various different things that I needed to do, I'd be doing at lunchtime or I'd be doing in the evening. And I finished up with them at the end of the year. And you're right. They're still very, it's drips and drabs at the moment. Now I had 2.5 years. Pretty much full-time consultancy work with the HSE, so I can't. I can't complain about that for a second.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
You know, we did some great work.
It's not always something that people figure about when they go into this line of sole consulting, though. That you've got these two incredibly different hats, which is deploying your expertise on the one hand, and then trying to build a business on the other hand at the same time, which isn't easy. Yeah.
And it's all the other little bits with building a business. And I find actually that a lot of companies and smaller companies struggle like this as well. They go into a business for themselves with something that they're very passionate about and something that they want. But they're all the other pieces around the business, they don't know about and it's not their skill set. And they, I work with an IT company at the moment, and they're victims of their own success. The guy is a genius. He just wants to sit in a room and code all day, every day. Yeah. But he's got about 30 staff, he has to, and he just doesn't know how to. He's just not that kind of guy.
Absolutely. I quite often say to people, there's a real difference. You know, a lot of people say, I'm an entrepreneur. I go, without being rude, actually you're not. What you are is a business person, yeah? And basically you take your skill set and make that into a business, and that is a brilliant, brilliant thing to do. But an entrepreneur doesn't have any skills. I couldn't do anything. What I do, I run businesses, which is exactly the opposite of what you're saying. You know, like, I don't know what to do, but if somebody gave me something to do, I know how to run it, kind of thing.
Exactly. And there's so many, you identify all of your blind spots when you start to work for yourself and you start and I find that with a lot of my clients at the moment is they're identifying their blind spots and saying, hey, we need a bit of expertise. We need to ask somebody for help in certain areas and certain things. But you know, they're excellent at what they do, and you know, it's like, you know, I spoke to a printing company down in Wexford here a while ago, and he's excellent at what he does. He, you know, he prints, he's fantastic job he does, absolutely fantastic, but he doesn't know how to ask his customers for the money that they owe. And he feels that's going to then alienate his customers. And it's like, listen, I get this because this is not your skill set. It's, you know, so it's just, you have to wear so many different hats.
Absolutely.
But it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's cut to the chase, Dara. Tell us, is it KPI Consulting your company's called?
KPI Consulting Ireland. That's the company. So,
tell us what you do. Tell us what your skill set is and the kind of things that you deploy your knowledge in.
Yeah, absolutely. The big thing and the real passion for me is leadership. And that's where my skill set comes from for the last 25, managing people, and getting the best out of people. You know, a lot of people don't realize that people management actually is a skill set. And it has to be honed. You have to be very self-aware. You need to understand a lot about yourself before people will buy into what you're selling. So I do that, but I'd spend most of my time in contact centres and in call centres across, you know, Ireland, once or twice in the UK. And it seems to be that that's where my skills seem to just keep, I keep bouncing back to contact centres and call centres. And there's a number of reasons, I think, why, you know, there's, Nobody dreams in school of working in a call center. I've ended up being in it for so many years. But nobody dreams that. And it's almost like a stepping stone for people. And what happens is they forget about what the reason they're there for a lot of times. And it's a whole customer experience thing. And they don't, the management, you know, what happens is for the management of call centers, what they do is it's almost like the next person up becomes the next team lead. And then that team lead then becomes the next manager. And they don't, their management don't help them and support them with their own, development and helping them work with people. And the teams are the people who are speaking to the customers, and they don't know how to do, they don't know proper employee engagement. They don't get if you look after your staff, they're going to look after your customer. But it's not their fault. They don't get it. Do you know, and we find with some fantastic leaders I've worked with in the past, is they're so natural, they don't realize it's a skill set. So they don't realize that that's something that they have to pass on and they have to develop people. So that's what I do. And generally what happens is I get contacted to say that there's issues with their processes. I would do quite a lot of process improvement and process mapping and redefining how people are working with their current technology or their current process, their current way of doing things. And it generally comes back to the same thing. I get asked to say, you know, our retention's down, our attrition is up. What are we doing wrong with our systems? Can we review the whole thing? We map it all down, but it always comes back to leadership, I suppose, lacking leadership. And that's where it always ends. I always say when I speak to people, you know, just be prepared. If by chance I come back to you and tell you that you happen to be a large part of the problem here. It doesn't make me the most popular person in the room, I must say, especially when you're telling the person who signed the check.
I have been there big time. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Dara. I know exactly what you mean. I used to operate as a management consultant, independent management consultant, many years ago. I don't do that anymore, but many years ago I did. And I did an assignment, and it was a long assignment, and it was a global assignment. And I went and interviewed staff from all over the world in this particular organization. I wrote a massive report. They paid me a huge amount of money. And I went in to see the chief executive with my report. And I said, here's my report. And he said, cut to the chase. What's the bottom line? I went, it's you. And he went, thank you very much. I gave him the report. He, in front of me, he tore it up, threw it in the bin and said, send me your check. Send me your invoice. And, you know, and you go, well, really? So yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. I want to pick up on something else you said, because I thought it was really apposite as well. I think one of the mistakes we make in organisations is we use management promotions as a reward. Yeah. So you've got someone that's a really good programmer, or someone that's a really good bookkeeper, or someone that's a really good call centre agent, and you go, we're going to make you the manager.
And
what you end up with is a poor coder and a poor manager.
It's very similar to when you overload somebody who's maybe more so enthusiastic and so you're one of your best people in your business, and they're always asking for more responsibility and more help, and then as you keep giving them more tasks to do, slowly but surely they don't know when to say no. The manager doesn't know when to stop doing this. They overload them. And next thing, they've turned that person from a star into someone now they're concerned about. And they still don't see that they were the cause of this. They don't understand that. And it's an easy way out. They think it's just an easy way out. We reward this person because they've been so loyal and they've been here for years. It goes wrong, and they just don't understand why. And they leave it, and they fortunately leave it with them. They say, now you're the manager, off you go. And they might see them a month later, or, yeah, you know, they'll never support them. And the first, I find when people are promoted, the first couple of weeks is the most crucial time, because everybody's looking at you, mm-hmm, and everybody's wondering, I wonder what this guy's going to turn into, you know?
Yeah.
And I always say to people who are promoted, you know, just don't do anything. Just sit there for a week or two, watch, listen, yeah, you know, talk to your staff, see what's going on, but don't start coming in with the yeah, big decisions and saying, now I've got the boss hat on now, so now I'm the boss.
Yeah.
And a key thing for people is, you know, just because you've become the manager of the team, that actually means you now work for the team. You need to be there supporting those people. They don't work for you. You know, and if you have that mindset, I think when that clicks with people, they then realize, well, I will live on the success of my team. My success is driven by them. So if I make them better, well, then it reflects well on me. It's not a threat to you. Nobody's coming to get your job. Nobody's coming to, you know, people don't know these things. And that's what I spend a lot of time doing. I do a lot of mentorship with certainly younger leaders to try and just put things into context for them and tell them, look, don't worry about things. Nobody, you know, you've just become a manager here. Your company knows your skill set already. They know you don't have to overprove yourself. You don't need to do these things. They know where you are. They know this is why they gave you it. Yeah. Just smooth yourself into it. But yeah, people get carried away.
Yeah, I you know, you're hitting so many buttons for me here, Darren. That, you know, it's absolutely true. The other thing I see with this, I luckily work for an organization that actually cope with this a long time ago, but most don't, is management is also seen as a hierarchical structure. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, you know, you got the bottom line troops here that all earn minimum wage, and then you got this, and then the manager earns a good whack. I was lucky. I worked for Citibank, the American bank.
And
many years ago, they recognized that was an issue. Yeah. So they had a structure that meant that I was a VP. I was a vice president there, but I had 10, 15 people working for me that earned far more than I did. Yeah. Because they were paid on a scale for their skills. Yeah. And their skills were in big demand. So they got paid a lot of money and a lot more than me, but their skills weren't in leadership. Mine was in leadership. Theirs was in doing what they did. I had no problem with that. They had no problem with that. They didn't want my job because, one, they didn't want to do it anyway, and two, it paid less.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to do that, but I think we have to think about it in that way at least, you know.
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, we hang on to, I mean, we find it very difficult to change, and we find kind of these hierarchies very difficult. You just as you're talking there, I mean, you know, you think about any football team in the Premiership, you know, the manager is not getting paid the most money here. He's not kicking a ball, you know, he's just, but he's got his skill set, and these guys probably couldn't lead a team anyway, but they've got their skill set and people are coming to see them. And it's the same with, you know, any form of that area, like, you know, the likes of the people in different music bands, their manager doesn't get paid as much as them, but they've got different skill sets. And I think people, we do, you know, I think that the world has just gotten so busy. There's so much going on. People just don't take time to sit and think about things. You know, you've got to just give yourself a moment to just look at what's happening, really look at yourself and look at what you're doing in a business and then think about it. Well, how can I make this different? How can I change how we do things here? And, you know, by having a hierarchy in place, I think those days are gone. And people thinking of, you know, this is the big boss man. He wears the big boss hat and just do what he tells you. And he just barks out orders. One of the first jobs I went in, and I found this so funny. I went in, they'd asked me to come in and look at their collections team. And they asked me, look, we'll come in for a while, for a few months. Our collections team isn't doing great. They were a hire purchase company. And the first day I walked in, and suit and jacket, but I don't do ties. You know, I just don't. The director said to me, do you have a tie? I said, no, it didn't bring a tie with me. He said, and he gave me one. He said, well, you'll need a tie here because people will need to know who the manager is. I said, well, unless the tie has the word manager on it, I don't see how that's going to tell people that I'm the manager. It's not what I wear. It's what I do and the actions I do. This is what they thought. It's old school. And you've been in financial services. You've seen that. You know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that out there. And it's not just in financial services. It's it is just because there's a confidence thing there. People don't have that confidence. They see that it's just because you're a manager doesn't mean the title of manager doesn't give you authority. It's your actions. You know, it's what you do with it. But people think, you know, stick on the manager badge and now. Yeah. Everything was fine. And then they wonder why their staff are
walking. I have ultimate wisdom while I've got my tie on.
Yeah, you know, and then, and I don't ask questions. It's my way. I've nothing further to learn in my life. I've now reached the pinnacle. I have all the knowledge I'll ever need. And that's very much a confidence thing because people like that, I think, believe that, they always believe they're at risk. There is a, an insecurity there, I think. And the more confident you become in yourself and the more you're aware of your own faults and how you deal with them, the more you're open for feedback and the more I don't know everything about everything. It's just not possible. What I do when I'm in a business is I hire people who are better than me. I hire good people and I learn from them. And now as a consultant, I go into different companies and I find out all the things that they do that are wrong and I help them with those type of things. But I'm sharing that information that I'm learning from other businesses. And so one business, I find a fantastic way that they're doing something in one business. And I go to another business that has the same problem, say, hey, without giving names, this is what this other company does. Why don't you try this? Or why don't we do this? But yes, it's the same with leadership. You got to find great leaders, listen to what they do, ask for help. Do you know, if you don't feel comfortable with your staff to help you, but you should, but if you don't feel comfortable asking your staff and your peers, get outside help. You know, that's generally where I come in. That's
absolutely.
And it does kind of come to a stage where you say, well, hey, listen, it's not your processes. It's not this. It's not that. It's you, you know, and you either get, hey, just send me the check and you get kicked out the door, or they say, hey, well, can you help me with that? And you go, okay. Yeah. And now you've now crossed that bridge for yourself. You've now done something so important for yourself because you've just asked for that help. And we all need it.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. If people want to find out more about you or get in touch or to work with you, what's the best way to do that?
The best place is to look at the website. The website is kpiconsultingireland.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn as well, Dara Kiernan on LinkedIn. I'd be delighted to hear from anybody. One thing I do love is helping people with problems. And thankfully, that's what this job is giving me some great, I've got some great value from what I'm doing now. It's great to get a good result from seeing improvement in people and businesses.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much for your time, Paul.
Thank you. Pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Darren. And we'll switch you again soon. Dara Kiernan, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, that was the fantastic Mr. Dara Kiernan, all the way over there from Ireland, of KPI Consulting Ireland. Fantastic insights into the world of leadership.
Amazing.
Do you like my cheesy chinage to introduce him? Leader of the pack. Did you like it? There was another leader song that came up, and there's no way I could play that.
No.
It's a song called Leader of the Gang.
Oh, okay. No,
so Gary Glitter. Wasn't having that.
Delete.
Yeah, exactly. So that was Dara. What a fabulous interview and what a lovely man. Yeah.
Definitely.
Talking about leadership. I want to come back to something I gabbled through earlier from Lisa Settle. Who's saying having a shout out for Ryland Communications about the switch off of the PSTN and trying to avoid last minute panic. You really do need to talk to people like Lisa and her crew, because it's not as simple as you think it is, in some respects. Basically, obviously, there's a difference between corporate communications and domestic communications, but they're all having to move onto that the internet platform. I can't remember what the BT called it. They got a new name for it, but it's basically voice over IP is basically what it is. I've had loads of problems with my, I was one of the first to be moved domestically. Funnily enough, I've always had voice over IP phones anyway, company wise, but I was moved domestically and it's been horrible. My phone stopped for 3 weeks and then my internet crashed and didn't work. It's just not good. And the problem is, if your broadband goes down or if there's a power cut, you can't call anyone. You can't even call 999.
See, that's awful. And just think of all the OAPs out there that, you know, that don't really know how to use the internet.
Absolutely. And most Lifeline and SOS support services can't work like that. Funnily enough, I've just been talking to my mum's supplier. Because my mum renewed, or I renewed for her yearly Lifeline subscription for this year in January. In February, BT wrote to me saying, we're going to move your mum's phone. So I go back to the Lifeline company and they go, oh yeah, we got a GSM based offering now. It's £100 dearer than the old system. And I went, okay, well, I have that then. And they said, but you got to pay again as well.
Why?
Well, hold on. I just paid for that. Yeah, but you're not going to use that anymore. You've got to buy all the new equipment and all the rest of it.
So they're going to charge you to basically move over to this new system, even though you didn't ask for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh.
And you know, so that'll work, but her phone won't work if she needed to call. She could press the red button and they will call 999, obviously. BT's answer to that is, get a mobile phone.
Oh my goodness. No.
And my answer to that is, if I'm getting a mobile phone, why would I bother having your stupid landline?
Exactly. Yeah. They're selling themselves out.
When they first transferred mine, I had a big row with them because I said, this is pointless. It's absolutely pointless. I've got a mobile phone. Why do I need it? Now you can do away with, back then you couldn't do away with the landline.
Yeah.
You had to have the landline. Yeah. Now they have a scheme where you don't have to have a landline anymore. Mm. So why bother? I wouldn't, you know, for a domestic phone point of view, if you got a mobile phone, I'd stick with that.
Absolutely.
They've got another thing that BT are playing. It's why they're 4 years behind in the rollout of this, by the way, is because it suddenly dawned on them it didn't work for most people. The thing that they've got is a battery backup. So if you're a vulnerable person, they've got a box that you can have that has a battery backup in it for your phone or broadband.
And what do they expect these old people to do?
Re-engineer it.
Can
you imagine my mum, 95-year-old with dementia, going, I'm just re-engineering the phone. I'll be with you in a minute. Yeah.
I've just got to take it out of the box.
Yeah.
Just going to go and do a master's in quantum mechanics before I open this.
So basically, you need to speak to Ryland Communications and get their advice and help, because you do need it. It's not as simple as you think it is. Martin Reeves has been back on. Thank you so much, Paul and Julie. For my Business Bunker shout out, and happy 30th anniversary to Jules and her new hubby. Wayne Cunnington has been on. Love it. So good of Paul to create Twitter Tuesdays. Well worth the tune in. Missing Jules Sirkin, but a lively crowd standing in all the same on the Business Bunker show. So thank you for that, Wayne. She'll be back soon, unfortunately.
Ignore him, Jules.
Yeah. Sarah Marsh Collins, I just switched my folks to voice over IP phone, Paul. UW tried to tell them they still needed a BT landline at £20 a month. No, you don't. You don't. Not anymore. The switchover is going to catch so many people out because they just don't understand how it works and it's not being advertised very well. Absolutely. We're going to do some programs on it. We did mention it a few months back. I'm going to do a whole program on it.
Surely BT are going to lose a lot of customers over this.
Yeah.
They have like a mobile network?
Yeah, they own EE.
So boycott EE then.
Sorry?
BT. Are they linked to EE?
They own
it. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Just move over to O2. Simple.
Yeah. you know, they're changing. They're changing away from the old copper wire. The BT network is the oldest phone network in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of it was put in the 19th century. Seriously. Yeah, so it's, I have sympathy with them. They've got to try and change it into something more modern.
Yeah.
And they've decided to do away with directly attached telephones altogether.
Yeah.
And just use fibre via broadband. Now, you talk about losing customers, but you think about it, it's 17 quid for a landline and about 50 quid for a broadband.
Yeah, I know.
So people like my mum, why would she have broadband?
Yeah.
She wouldn't, right? But she has, because she has to, and because I do a lot of stuff there, so I actually pay for her broadband. But, you know, most old people wouldn't bother about broadband. They wouldn't have it. But but now you've got to. So actually they're making more money.
Mm.
And also they've saved a huge amount of money trying to keep the old network going.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Lisa says, hello to Lou and Chinwe, both fab women in business. Lou is a settled family physio.
Yeah. Correct.
And highly recommended. Well, thank you for that made her smile, Lisa.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa. Yeah.
But would that be Dave still playing football at his great age? Yeah, yeah.
Good on him.
And Lisa's going to say, following Dara's interview, so many leaders are accidental leaders. They get promoted and find themselves in a role without any proper training. Yeah. You know, we discussed that with Dara. It's absolutely true. People use management and leadership as a reward for being good at a job when it's actually just a job function.
And
we just don't do that properly. You know, there's only a certain amount of people that suit that job
role.
Yeah. So we're getting busy on the Twitter.
Is it about your pink tutu?
Show.
Pink tutu or it's the naked pool?
We've kind of parked that one for a little while.
Never forget, Paul. We will never forget.
They must stop searching as well.
Martin, yes, he will. Yeah. Have you seen Men in Black? Martin Reeds has been on. Great interview with Dara. Reminds me when I got a job as an assistant manager in a charity shop in Tenterson High Street in 2017. The manager left, so I was thrown in at the deep end. I let everybody show me the shop dynamics, grafted with the volunteers for a new manager. Yeah, it happens. We'll catch up with some more of those in a minute. You can read something.
I can read something. Woo! Canterbury Christchurch University. Take your organisation to the next level with innovative strategies and cutting-edge technology. We are thrilled to offer fully funded places for organisations to participate in our upcoming workshops. So they are doing workshops harnessing the power of AI in business.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, that's a big one. So the key themes and objectives, just to name a few, introduction to AI in businesses and AI technologies, the challenges and benefits of AI. I mean, there are lots of positives and negatives about it, in my opinion, but responsible and ethical use of AI. So, yeah, sign up online. Do visit their website. They've not given me a website here, but Canterbury Christchurch University, if you Google Power of AI, I'm sure the links will be on there as well.
I happen to know it off the top of my head.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, it's canterburychristchurch.ac.uk.
There you go. Well done, Paul.
Yeah,
okay. So, tributes have been paid to a true gentleman who turned his business into one of the most respected in Kent. Father of five, Adrian Ovenden died at William Harvey Hospital in Ashford on the 1st of February at the age of 80. As founder of Ovenden Plant Hire, which celebrates 50 years in business this year, Mr. Ovenden oversaw the growth of the Aylsham-based firm from a small start-up to one of the biggest names in construction in the county. He was also well-known in motorsport, having been a regular face at Liddon Hill Race Circuit, where his family regularly compete in rallycross events.
Fantastic. It's a sad passing. Yeah. But someone who lived a very full life and built an incredible business, an absolutely incredible business. Right, we've reached that time where we have our mid-show break. When we come back, we've got two fabulous guests to talk to and no more mention of tutus anywhere. Okay?
No promises.
That's the rules.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.